Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day to this point. We enjoy our conversations with our next guest. Paul Byrd is on the line with us, former big leaguer, now part of the Braves broadcast. Paul, how you doing?
Good. What's up, guys?
Just enjoying a beautiful sunny day here in Nashville. How are things down in your neck of the woods?
The same. Yeah, it feels really good. It's not too hot. Sun's out. Got a little lunch break going, and yeah, everything's all right. So yeah, I'm, baseball's back in swing. It's crunch time. Every team's in it, and I'm excited to see how this is going to finish out.
Let me ask you a couple of, I'm going to start with now you're on this side of things, okay, since your playing day.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're aware of the Tom Brenneman story that happened last night during a Reds broadcast.
Yes.
What have you learned from transitioning from former player? And then I'm going to ask you a former player question on the other side. But what have you learned now that you've made the move to this side? And when you see something like that, and you know what we do, you know, we sit here and do a four-hour show every day. You have to know 5 days a week. You're live and you're on the air, and everything you say will be scrutinized.
Yeah.
It's no different in what you do.
Yeah, no, I mean, and there's, I mean, what I would say, I'll try to answer your question. I guess it's just reinforced as a player and then as a broadcaster, the importance of being who you are when the camera's turned off, being who you are when you're not doing a charity for your team. How are you like in the locker room when there's no cameras? And I think that's really important. Ernie Johnson is a good friend of mine. We're in men's group together, and he is the exact same person off camera that he is on camera. And I think that's really important. You know, we have a talk back button in a booth where when you're broadcasting a game and you're doing color, or if you have to cough, we have a button for that. And, you know, if you are the same person on the talk back button when you're talking to the truck as you are on the live broadcast, that's what matters for me. And, so I think that's really important. And, you know, unfortunately last night, you know, was not acceptable. And it will be interesting, you know, to see how things are handled.
Yeah, that's well said. I want to ask you now from get your player perspective, because I know you're familiar with the Tatis Jr. Incident with the Padres and the Rangers. So there's been a lot said and written and talked about on shows like this of, you know, unwritten rules in baseball. What are your – I'm just going to leave it up to you. You take it however you want. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I have no problem with what Tatis did. Here's why. Like, there was a game I was pitching against the Expos when I played for the Braves, and we were up big. And, you know, it was 2-0, and there was guys on, and unwritten rule says, hey, you're 8 runs ahead, and you got to throw a slider. I mean, you got to throw a fastball. And I threw a slider. You know, when I got the out, and I walked off the field, and, I said to the umpire as I was walking off, and he was like, nice pitch. And I was like, yeah, I have to pitch like that. I'm not good enough to just throw fastballs. And Bobby Cox says, what'd you say to him? And I told him what I said. And he goes, that's a bunch of crock. He goes, look, if you start throwing fastballs, this game will be tied up in no time. And I kind of realized that you want to win the game, number one. So until the game's over, you haven't won the game. And it doesn't mean that the probability was that, you know, it was still close. No, it doesn't matter. Until it's 100%, the game is over, you do whatever you do to win the game. That's number one. Number two, I didn't see Tatis do anything like bat flip, do a moonwalk down to first, run a circle around the mound. I didn't see anything that I was like, okay, this guy really showed him up. Lastly, I would say is this. If you don't like that, you know, Tatis hit a home run and swung 3-0, then pitch better.
Yeah.
Pitch better. And you know what? This is from a pitcher who's led the league in giving up home runs before, led the league. So I'm an authority on, you know, when a guy hits a home run, they show you up, and when they don't or anything like that. And then if you're a hitter and, you know, I have a 7-8 run lead on you and I throw a 2-0 slider and you ground out, you can call me names all you want running down to first. I'm not going to feel bad. If you don't like the pitch, don't swing. Yeah. Let it go. And, you know, another thing, too, this I'll shut up after this. As you can tell, I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, no, this is great.
To say to Tatis, hey, man, you're supposed to take that pitch, not hit a home run, not score 4 RBI that go onto your record when you go to arbitration or when you go to wherever. And it's not that it's all about money, but we play to win the game and we play to provide for our families. And that's a very short window for most. So for you to say, hey, don't provide for your family, don't swing, don't do what you called to, I think is absolutely ridiculous.
100%
agree. What's a good unwritten rule we should follow? Don't talk to the pitcher on game day until he speaks to you, because somebody has their game face on and every pitcher is different, and please respect the way he prepares.
Yeah.
That's a great unwritten rule. So that's my thoughts on it, and obviously I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. By the way, I completely agree with you. And what's baffling to me is not only did you have the opposing manager, you know, side with the unwritten rules, you had his own manager not even defending him. Like,
yeah.
I was dumbfounded by that. It was ridiculous. I said yesterday on the show, and I don't ever, look, I've been at this 2+ decades. I don't get on here. It's not my job to fire people. It's not my job to fire coaches, fire people. I said, honestly, like if I was in their organization, he would be the Padres. I'd fire him as the manager. Like, you don't take up for a talent like that, and you actually side with the opposition when you've got this special kid in Tatis. And like you said, he didn't do anything wrong other than he went up there and did what he's supposed to do. And you side with the Rangers, like, you would be gone in my book. And I don't do that, but I felt that compelled about it.
Yeah, I was disappointed as well that he didn't stick up for his player. And, you know, the game is changing, I think, too. And it's been interesting, the different opinions on Twitter. But, you know, I am old school. You know, I drafted in 91, so I am old school. And I just believe that's a really stupid, unwritten rule. And I hope that people learn from this and they, you know, are willing to have a different opinion.
Talking to Paul Byrd, analyst for the Atlanta Braves. And, Paul, it's been interesting to watch pitchers during this condensed season. There's some staffs that have been kind of in tatters. The Braves have got their own issues. I want to ask you about one specific guy to start with. We watch Kyle Wright, you know, very, very closely in his time at Vanderbilt. Played for some amazing teams, you know, some teams that won a lot of games. I never saw him as a guy that would struggle with command the way he has struggled at this level. What do you think is keeping him from having – because he's got the stuff. We can see it. He's got first-round stuff. It just hasn't come together yet. What's keeping him from getting there right now?
He can't throw the ball inside to right-handers, and he can't command his fastball. So here's what happens. When you're – you know, when I saw him pitch when my son played for Clemson, and he was phenomenal, 95 works in college, period. You can keep throwing it away all day long, and it works. And people coming out of high school say, wow, he's throwing 95. And they have a tough time catching up to that. In the big leagues, that means nothing. That means nothing. It means that the ball is going to go further when they hit it. 100 means something, but 95 doesn't. They see that a lot, and they just set the dial to 95. So when you just throw away, 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 you get hit. And you can even do that in the minor leagues. But once you get to the big leagues, you can't just stay to one side of the plate. So he has trouble commanding his fastball to both sides of the plate. And so when you get hit, you throw away, 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 and you get hit, all of a sudden you think, okay, I can't throw the ball in. I haven't really done that in my career, and I'm getting hit away. Then you start to get timid. and then you start to walk guys, fall behind in the count, try to make your breaking ball better than what it is, and then you start to struggle. When we've seen him do well up here, he has thrown the ball to both sides. He has commanded his fastball a little bit better. I do believe in Kyle. I think long-term he's going to be great. I just think that he has to learn how to pitch and adapt his game plan to big league hitters. And the question mark, just like Dansby hitting a slider, is how long is that going to take? And some guys it takes a month. Some guys it takes a couple years. And then some guys, you know, they never get there, you know, in that window. But I believe in Kyle. He's smart. He works hard. And I think he will figure it out eventually. It's just a question of how soon.
And Paul, in the short term, as you know, the Braves are juggling and trying to find arms and ways to get through this. The good thing for them is they're not alone. There's so many staffs that are in the same situation. But how specific, what can you tell us about the Braves for the next week or 2 weeks as they try to sort this out without Soroka trying to piece together a starting staff?
Yeah, and I wish I could help you on that with the answer to that. They need guys to step up, guys like we just talked about, Kyle Wright. Others, Josh Tomlin going in the rotation, I think will help because he's a veteran who does command his fastball a little bit better and, you know, has a lot of veteran experience and can hand the ball off. So that's going to help. But in the meantime, you're still going to need some of the other pitchers other than Max Fried to step up and get the ball to that great bullpen. They've got good defense. They've got offense. That's going to score a run. So for me, that is the weakness of the Braves, and their season kind of comes down to how soon some of these young guys can step up and give the team some quality innings. What do I love about it? Well, it's not April, you know. If this was a 162-game season, the bullpen would not be able to handle that load that's going to be asked of them. The fact that it's only, you know, a little over a month is much better, and it's doable. And the Braves just have to find a way to get into the playoffs. And if they can do that, they certainly have the kind of team that can make some noise.
What has been when you turn the clock ahead 10 or 15 years and somebody asks you, what was it like to broadcast in 2020? I mean, I've watched you guys a lot. I love the guys down the line, the grounds crew, whoever the guys are making the music and stuff, just trying to create that environment in this crazy world we're living in right now. What will you tell the people 15 years from now? What's going to be your best memory?
Man, I feel like I'm in a movie. You know, when I say that, like, not all great movies, but, you know, it's just very surreal right now. When I go to the stadium and there's nobody there, it's just weird. And then you walk in and I'm in right field talking to Ronald Acuna Jr., like, great catch, man, great route. He's like, thanks, man. Gives me, you know, a fist pump back. When is that ever going to happen again, ever? You know, it's just crazy. And I don't know what I'll exactly say, and I hope it changes. But, you know, cardboard cutouts, pumped in noise. It's just something that the game has never, ever gone through. And, you know, so it's very, very unique. I still do love the game. I love the chess match between the pitcher and the catcher. I love seeing comebacks. I love seeing people fight against adversity because I think baseball is so much about life. You have a lot of people out there that are grinders, and, you know, you wouldn't know them if you stood next to them, but they're good with hand-eye coordination, and they love the game, and there's passion, and you can't put a radar gun on that. And I love still seeing those things happen on the field, but I miss the fans. You know, I miss a young man or woman sitting with their parents eating a hot dog and trying to learn the game and try to catch a foul ball and, you know, taking pictures with the fans and hearing the roar of the crowd on a big home run. That's really, really weird, too. Sitting out there in right field, hearing a big home run, a big situation, I don't hear the roar of the crowd. I just hear the ball clank around on the bleachers. That's weird. So, you know, some of the things I'll tell people, and I'm really pulling for a normal 2021, but right now I'm going to live in the present and I'm going to battle in 2020 and try to do best job I can on the field without all of those extra things.
Paul Bird is with us from Braves broadcast on Fox Sports South. And Very excited to see the debut of Christian Pache as a guy that we've heard a lot about over the last few years as the top prospect for the Atlanta Braves. He's scheduled to make his debut. It was supposed to be yesterday, but obviously got rained out. But what are you expecting out of this young man?
You know, I'm expecting great defense. He is phenomenal defensively. He was scheduled to play left, which surprised me a little bit, but I'll just take seeing him out on the field somewhere. Energy and smiles. He's a great kid, and he needs to learn. What do I specifically like about him makeup-wise is that, you know, in spring training, he follows around Andrew Jones. You know, Andrew Jones can't get 5 feet away from him, you know. And he asks questions. And that tells me that's really, really big. That's really big to ask questions, try to learn, care, work hard. And, you know, he doesn't just care about offense. He cares about defense, becoming a better player, like he's kind of on a mission. And he got a little swagger to him as well. And when I see that, I say, okay, I'm not going to predict he's the next Andrew Jones or Chipper Jones or anything like that. I just say, hey, be yourself. Be Christian Pache. And I cannot wait to see what comes out in the wash. You have the makeups, you know, the makeup of being a really great player.
How important, and not just to Christian being an outfielder, but I even put Acuna in this conversation as well. Having Nick Markakis back, he decided not to opt out, decided to come back and join the team. We know what he can do with his bat, but just having him in the clubhouse with those young outfielders, how important has that been?
It's phenomenal. I think you want to see a guy that, whether it's 10-1 or whether it's 1-1, he's going to go up to the plate and he is going to fight and battle. What I was talking about earlier about a radar gun not being able to register a heart or passion or care and concern for the game or the fight in a person, he is the epitome of that guy who is just a bulldog. And you can give a great speech in the locker room or you can be, you know, a rah-rah guy. But when you go out on the field, you have to back that up. And people have to see the way you play the game. And Nick's very quiet, and he is a lead-by-example guy. And when he does speak, like he walked over and said something to Tookie and praised him, it's like, man, it just means volumes. So he is that guy who, when they came back, I saw a difference in the team. He's gotten some huge hits. And, you know, I'm so glad that Pache coming up will get to see the way he goes about his business.
You pitched, you know that part of it, and working with different guys behind the plate. But when the Braves are with them in the situation that they're in, trying to figure this rotation out, find the guys that they know they can trust and stay in there, how important is it? Tyler Flowers, he's been there, but Travis d'Arnaud comes in as a free agent this year, to have a veteran catcher that can adapt night in and night out to these different arms and work with these guys to get on the same page.
So I like that. This is the problem, and you didn't ask this question. It's the problem. With some of the young pitchers, I saw this with A.J. Pierzynski and Matt Whistler. Matt Whistler struggled to throw fastballs in, and he never got there. And A.J. came over to me and said, I'm really struggling. Like, do you call a pitch that somebody can't throw? And my vote was yes, because if you know they're going to have to throw that pitch – to be successful in the big leagues, they've got to do it, to try. And he said, every time I do that, it's a ball. It's 1-0, 2-0, and all this. So I don't really know what to do. And so there's been some blame on the catchers, like, hey, if these young guys are not – if the game plan's wrong, why aren't the catchers adapting? And you know, I just kind of told you the problem. The good is you have guys who can frame really well. And so when you get it close to the zone, they're going to get you more strikes than they will take away pitches that are on the black because they received it wrong. That's very, very important. They're great receivers. But they're also, they have the ability to say, you need to work on this pitch. You need to throw this pitch. I'm going to call it in the game. We're going to work on it in the bullpen, and I need you to trust me. And I would like to see more of that going forward. And you know, I'm not saying it hasn't already happened because I'm not in the locker room. I don't have that day-to-day experience talking with the catchers. But I do like that we have two very good receivers back there, and Dono's killing the ball at the plate right now, another really big added bonus. But I would like to see some changes made in the game plan.
Paul, one thing that Fox Sports has been doing this week with the Braves broadcast is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. Tomorrow kicks off
yes.
Hank Aaron weekend, and you know Henry Aaron, the legend in the Braves organization, and so cool to see him still. You know, people, his playing career has been over for a long time, but people still honor Henry Aaron. But how cool has it been to continue the celebration of the Negro Leagues now 100 years since their beginning?
Yeah, really, really cool. And, you know, I'm so blessed. I'm so privileged in this game. I played in Kansas City where the Negro Leagues Museum is and got to know Buck O'Neill sitting on the bench. Got to hear a lot of great stories, you know. Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, cool Papa Bell. I mean, I'm asking him, you know, all kinds of questions. And he was so gracious in telling us, oh, man, you know, here's what the – ball sounded off of, and it was so great. It was like Babe Ruth's bat, Willie Mays bat, and he talked about that sound. And then he said, "There's another time where I heard that sound, and it was off Bo Jackson's bat." And so we were talking about when Bo Jackson first came and took batting practice at Kauffman Stadium. They weren't, you know, guys coming off of Auburn and picked up a wood bat, right? Starts taking BP and starts launching balls. George Brett and Frank White walked off the field, walked over to the cage, and sat down like little kids and just watched. And Buck O'Neill was walking up the tunnel, and he turned around because he said, I've only heard that sound four times in my life. And he came back down. And so, you know, he could talk about the ball coming off Josh Gibson's bat. And so it's got a really rich meaning to me because I've been able to make some of those relationships. It's a tragedy that we're not able to compare Satchel Paige with Warren Spahn or Cy Young, who knows how many games he won. And that's a tragedy. And that is a blemish that baseball, just like America, owns. And I'm glad to see them giving recognition to the Negro Leagues this week. And, you know, for people who are much younger than myself who didn't have that opportunity to sit with some of those great legends, to get on the computer, turn on the TV, watch and learn and do a little research and learn more about the history of our game and the Negro Leagues.
Well, hopefully our great city of Nashville can pay the ultimate homage to the Negro Leagues, and we'll have the Nashville Stars here one day in MLB. That would be great.
Yeah, there you go. Well said.
Yeah, I hope we're talking about that with you one day. Paul, we always enjoy the visit. Thank you so much.
Keep
up the good work. And be safe.
Nashville, I know because I grew up in Kentucky in Louisville, so I always stop in Nashville. My agent's from Nashville. I'm a huge fan of Nashville. You guys are growing so quickly, I think your last statement could be a reality sooner rather than later.
Let's hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope so. Hey, thanks for doing this as always. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Have a great show. I love listening.
All right, appreciate it. That is Paul Bird. Fantastic, as always. And he, of course, is a part of the Braves broadcast, former big leaguer. I'll call him former Indian because that's the way I view Paul Bird. But always good stuff from him. We'll come back. More on the other side. Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie's getting excited. There he goes. Willie is right now dancing in the living room. He is excited. He probably just threw on a glove.
This is my number one album. I think this is my number one album of all time.
By the way, Paul Bird did reference moonwalking in our interview. So,
he did.
Not sure if that's why Max went with us. Really good stuff. I really enjoy our chats with Paul Bird. I do.
Yeah, he's good.
He's really
good.
Very
insightful.
Very passionate, by the way, about the Fernando Tatis Jr. incident. And it was refreshing to actually hear that from a former player about the unwritten rules.
I'll tell you what, we hit with him with an array of topics there, right? Not some were, you know, really deep layered baseball questions, and some were more life issues and social issues and, you know, Negro leagues. And,
yeah,
you know, he didn't dodge any of them. He had great answers for all of them. I was very impressed with that, for sure. I'll give you one, too, on Kyle Wright. We've been mystified. If you're a Braves fan, you got to be saying it, especially if you are from here and you watch Kyle Wright in college and you're saying, how much have we talked about first-round picks today that haven't blossomed? What's going on with Kyle Wright? I can't believe he hasn't done it yet. But, man, he had a very specific answer.
Sure did.
For that. And you know what jumped out at me? Think about this. He said 95 in the big leagues means nothing.
Yep.
Now, how crazy is that to say?
I know.
A guy throws 95 miles an hour and it means nothing. But he's absolutely right. 95 in the big leagues, if it's not located well, is just, it's just nothing. It's just average. It's running the mill. He said they just set the dial to 95 and they go to work. And you get crushed. But that is absolutely the truth. It's an appreciation for how the game has evolved, how good the hitters are. Even though they whiff a lot, yes. But if you don't have command, they will eat you for lunch.
Well, he also said he doesn't do a very good job of throwing inside to right-handed batters.
Right. So it's all about command. Like I watched Kyle Hendricks pitch. You guys ever watch Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been around a while, right?
He has.
You ever see him hit 90 miles an hour?
No.
It's rare. He has games where he's 88, 89. It's a little bit like Greg Maddux, right? But he is a surgeon with his other pitches. And then the next thing you know, he's throwing an 88-mile-an-hour fastball right past somebody.
So well, that's what Paul Byrd just described about his career.
100%. That's how you can get people out if you can look. You got to throw hard enough. Right, you can't throw 75, but it's the change of paces, the movement, the location. It's, you know, 95 is nothing. He said now 100, that's still something. Like Jacob DeGrom now he's hitting 100 in his starts. He's throwing harder than he did last year, which is incredible. And now you do see more and more guys pop up that throw 100. It doesn't like make headlines anymore. So that's 100 is now what 95 was 10 years ago and 90 was 20 years ago.
Old reference. Chase won't get this, but I want to see if you do. Do you remember Indians pitcher, closer, Doug Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, way back in
the day.
Solid pitcher. Just nothing but slop. Just threw crap, but it worked.
He
didn't blow you away with anything, but he made all-star teams.
He made a bunch of all-star teams.
He saved a lot of games, and all he did was just he knew how to throw crap, and it worked. Because he was all around the plate, and like you said, he was kind of a surgeon with crap. He wasn't impressing you with any, you know, fastball or anything like that. So it can work, but you have to be exceptional at that, right? You have to be exceptional on the other side of if you don't have, you know, that pitch that we're talking about. Because I mean, when you say that out loud, it is hard to write. 95 is just another day at the baseball park in Major League Baseball. And it's like, wow. When you think about that, that makes you go, you know, man, that puts things in perspective. When you can't hang your hat on a 95-mile-an-hour pitch, right? When you can't say, hey, how about my fastball? I'm like, yeah, that's also known as Wednesday in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's what you see every day. It's all 95. Where is the pitch located?
Yeah.
How much movement does it have? How much life does it have? That's the real question.
I've never heard the term salad pitch or salad pitcher.
No?
No, I've never heard that term before.
Never?
That is what really stood out to me in that statement that you just made. I have never heard that before.
Well, now you have.
I know. You learn something new every day here.
Salad pitcher.
I would have called myself a salad pitcher at Vanderbilt. I had a lot of salads. I had salad.
Well, I'm glad you're eating your greens. That's good for you.
I had no problem with the greens. That's about all I had.
What was your fastball?
Honestly, back then, like now, Paul Byrd, I pitched in the same games with Paul Byrd when he was at LSU. They had a great team, and they had Paul Byrd at the time. If I recall, was 90, 91. which at the time there weren't a whole lot of guys that hit 90. So guys just throw harder now. 30 years, this is 30 years ago. This is getting crazy. How old I'm getting? But I probably on a good day was 82 at 83, maybe at best. Plenty of days where I was 79 to 80 with my fastball. But I had a really good changeup, and if I was right, I had a changeup. I had a curveball I could throw over the plate that had some good movement, and I could get by. But, you know, the scouts, I had the bad feeling sometimes, you know, the scouts, hey, here's a kid, you know, he looks pretty good, 6'3". Hey, he plays basketball. Let's see what he's got. The radar gun's on your first couple pitches, and then the scouts start putting the radar gun back in the bag. That's when you know. this guy, he's. Let's see if he can hit. Let's see what he looks like as a hitter.
Son, you're not a pitcher, but you can hit.
Bird was actually originally drafted out of LSU by the Indians in the fourth round, but just spent never. I don't think he ever played for them the first go around. I think he was just stuck in the minors, and then they eventually traded him to your Mets.
They did.
So that's what I was thinking. So he was in the organization for all three of our teams. Or played for all three of our teams.
He had two stints with the Indians.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Because when he came back, when he was the second go around is when he obviously was playing for them. The first go around, like I said, I think he just was in the minors. I don't even think he got a call up for years. I think he was just in the minor leagues, and then they eventually traded him to the Mets. But, okay, so also I took from the very end. Well, did I miss something? Does he know something that we don't know? Like, I need to actually hear that clip again. What did he say on the way out about the Nashville Stars?
I think he's just been hearing what we've all been hearing, that they're really trying to make it happen, that it's a viable Major League Baseball city someday. The question is, when is that day? How far down the road?
But didn't he kind of reference sooner?
Yeah, he said
sooner rather than later is what he said. But that could mean
based on how
does that mean 5 years, 10 years. What does that mean?
Right, but based on how we're growing, that could happen sooner rather than later. And
that's why I said, does he know something we don't know? Like, is this process even speeding up more than we thought?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm just curious.
It'd be nice if it was.
I'd like to hear those words again. Max, if you could quickly.
You've put Max on the spot a lot.
Man, I know. But it's at the very end of the interview, so it shouldn't be that hard. I just want to know. I want to hear exactly. Well, hopefully our great city of Nashville can pay the ultimate homage to the Negro Leagues, and we'll have the Nashville Stars here one day in MLB. That would be great.
Yeah, there you go. Well said.
Yeah, I hope we're talking about that with you one day. Paul, we always enjoy the visit. Thank you so much.
Keep
up
the
good work. And be safe.
Nashville, I know because I grew up in Kentucky in Louisville, so I always stop in Nashville. My agent's from Nashville. I'm a huge fan of Nashville. You guys are growing so quickly, I think your last statement could be a reality sooner rather than later.
Let's hope so. Mm-hmm. See, okay, so you guys are growing at a rapid pace. Okay, that's true. We all know that. That's not news breaking.
He also said he listened.
I know. He did say that.
To you guys.
Yeah, he said, I enjoy listening to you guys.
So Birdie dropping some stuff there at the end. That was good. Maybe poor choice of words on my part, birdie dropping, but whatever. We'll just move on.
Some birdie dropping?
Yeah, there you go.
Was that a golf reference or was that
Well, his
nickname
is Birdie, so
I know, but there was
a
lot of different ways you could have taken that.
Yeah, we know my affection for nicknames, so.
Mm-hmm. That could happen sooner rather than later, okay? That's why I'm saying, has he been talking to the group? Does he know something? We don't know. I hope he's right.
We need a park.
Yeah. That's the next
Until
big,
we start
big
having
step.
Like a real plan for a park, we can't get there. We can't get to sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
We got to have a plan for
a park. Well, it's not really just a park. They have a plan for a park. They need a plot of land. That's, I guess, the next step.
That's
right?
A big part of the plan.
Yeah. To have that
that's kind of the big park thing
that we've seen, you know, that looks fantastic. It's the right thing to do, by the way, the retractable roof. that is the right thing to do. Now we just need that land to build the park that makes sense. That's the next step.
You need some money to build. There's a
I
lot.
Don't know if that is really in question. Do you? Do you think that's really in question? The money
part?
Said
privately funded, so.
The whole thing? They're going to privately fund the whole thing?
Well, why would you throw that out there if you didn't have a plan behind the scenes?
Yeah, I said, well, that's a lot of money.
Last time I checked,
especially for a retractable roof.
They're not affiliated with the Big Ten and Pac-12. I think they have plans.
I hope so.
And backup plans. All right, we'll come back. Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. Come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. A little School of Rock bringing us back here on this Thursday afternoon. It's crazy. Yesterday we had playoff hockey at 11 o'clock in the morning until close to midnight or right at midnight last night, 13 hours. Now the teams are exiting the bubble. The field in round one has been whittled down. And the first game today will not be until 7 o'clock tonight. Islanders trying to eliminate the Capitals. So an elimination game for Washington. Islanders up 3-1 in that series. And also the Stars have an opportunity to send Calgary home as they lead the Flames 3-2 in that series. That'll be the nightcap game at 9:30 this evening. So that's the only two games. It's the lightest schedule we've seen since the return to play. Islanders, Capitals at 7, Stars and Flames in the nightcap. Was reading some stuff Mike Vrabel said today after practice, talking about Trevor Siemian. Of course, they cut Cole MacDonald. I'll get to that in a moment. Trevor Siemian, he said he likes his intelligence, his decisiveness, and experience. His overall accuracy stood out during the tryout. Also, Mike Vrabel went on to say, when talking about cutting Cole MacDonald, the 7th-round pick, out of Hawaii. By the way, Floyd Reese admitted when we had him on to start the second hour that he did have a quarterback in camp, so my memory wasn't crazy, just none of us can remember his name, the quarterback that they had in camp from Hawaii. But when talking about Cole MacDonald, he said there was just some things here now that forced us to go in a different direction. I'll say that again. There were just some things here now that forced us to go in a different direction. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what Mike Vrabel said about Cole MacDonald. And as we said yesterday, he could be brought back on the practice squad. I guess that's not out of the question.
Yeah, but I think it goes to – and granted, I didn't view him as a true contender for the backup position. So I think it's – you know, even though he's saying there's some things that we saw and yada, yada, I do think that there was more to Logan Woodside than there was – with Cole MacDonald. They don't have time to figure all this out. They have to have the answer of, okay, you're our backup quarterback and we can trust you, and they have to have it now. So they just don't have time to wait.
But is Logan Woodside truly the backup quarterback with that being said from the head coach about Trevor Siemian?
No. I think Trevor Siemian's the backup quarterback.
That's what it kind of feels like, right?
But they're not keeping three.
Do you know that for sure?
I would be
surprised.
I can't
definitively say that.
I would not. I would say I'd be surprised. No, I don't know one way or the other, but I wouldn't put it in the category of surprised. You would,
right? This is a different year, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
And I think that in years past, I would have said no, they're going to carry two because that's number one. That's what they've done. But I believe that with this being such a different year, I could see most teams carrying three and using that roster. I'm surprised that there hasn't been, and maybe there have, but I that the discussion hasn't been, okay, can we carry 54 and one has to be a quarterback? You know, that let us carry three quarterbacks. Every team does that because of what might happen with the virus.
They used to do that. They used to. They didn't have an extra roster spot, but there was a designated spot that was used for third quarterback. Remember that? We'd get the inactives every week, and that would be on there. Somewhere that went down the tubes. But it's really, you should have 53 plus the third quarterback, like you said, Chase. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it would probably
I don't think the third
you built your roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that And maybe that happens, but I kind of lean towards no matter what, they're going to have three quarterbacks.
Their practice tomorrow will be at Nissan Stadium. It will be 2 hours in length and closed to the fans. Of course, we know that. But they are going to basically try to get into, like, because this is what they would be doing, right, if they were having a normal training camp and preseason. And so they're kind of go through some, like, game day routines and walkthroughs to kind of get you in that mindset. So tomorrow they'll be at Nissan Stadium. I wanted to run by you guys. I saw that our buddy Jimmy Shapiro has put out lines for the first week of SEC play, right? The SEC released their schedule. Have you guys seen this? Have you guys seen the lines?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Let's play the game then. Tennessee at South Carolina. The Vols at the Gamecocks. What's the line? Willie.
Tennessee, South Carolina, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, this is funny. I'd like to ask our man Jimmy, what is the point philosophy when you don't have a full stadium? Or how many points do you account for in terms of the, quote, home field advantage? You know, we've always been taught that it's worth about 3 points in most cases. Do you shave that down a little bit?
It's a good question. I don't know.
There's so many unknowns with setting lines right now, but this
is
what's,
my gosh.
That's why this is going to be fun, because you really have no idea. So I want to hear what you guys think, and then I'll give you their actual line that's on betonline.ag.
I'll take a wild guess and say Tennessee by 3.5.
Tennessee by 3.5. Chase.
You know what?
At South Carolina.
I'm going to say it's a pick 'em.
Tennessee by a field goal.
Okay, by 3. Okay.
Tennessee by a field goal.
I tried to buy into Willie's philosophy there. But Tennessee
Vanderbilt at Texas A&M. Commodores and Aggies.
I think with the unknowns
down at College Station. What do you think?
I think with the unknowns of Vanderbilt, it's going to be very high. I will say 17.5, Texas A&M.
A&M by 21.
It is high, but you guys did not go high enough.
Really? Starts with a 3, I believe.
No, ooh, it's just under 29.5. A&M by 29.5. That's obviously the largest line. All right. Florida at Mississippi, the debut of Lane Kiffin at home. Gators and Rebels. What do you got? Chase, you start it.
Florida by 13.5.
Okay. Well, on the
Florida,
road.
Florida by 10.5.
Florida by 10.5. Willie nailed it. Florida by 10.5. Okay. How about Kentucky at Auburn? Kentucky at Auburn. This line surprised me a bit. I'll see what you guys think.
Will, are you going?
I'll say Auburn by 8.5.
I'll say Auburn by 6.5.
Why would you guys be that low on that game? At Auburn?
Well, because you said it surprises me a little bit.
Well, Kentucky has risen their profile some over the last couple years. I think they're moving in the right direction.
Auburn by 7.5. I'm surprised you guys were not in double digits.
You're surprised that we're intelligent. We're making smart picks.
I thought you'd be in the double digits.
But we used context clues. You gave it away. You said, I'm a little surprised by this. I'll
but
see
you don't
you
know
think.
What that means.
Auburn
by 19.
To me, it spoke that it's lower than you thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So that's where I went.
Good read. That's a good read.
Okay. Mississippi State at LSU.
Oh, boy.
Mike Leach on the road. Bulldogs, Tigers.
Tiger football.
Tiger football.
All right, Chase, you're up first.
I'll say LSU 13 and a half.
I'll say LSU by 21 and a half.
17 and a half. So kind of in the middle of what both of you threw out there. Georgia at Arkansas.
Yikes.
That's what Jimmy Shapiro said.
Yikes. Go, Willie.
But I already told you the Vandy Georgia, line was the highest.
Georgia by 23 and a half.
Well, I was going to say Georgia by 24. So
24.
Okay.
I want to give you guys credit, but I think you're cheating. I really do.
I'm not. No. I haven't looked.
I think you guys are all over
it. I'm surprised I haven't looked.
We just know how
to
read the situation. We know our SEC ball, especially in 2020. We know everything that's going to happen.
I wish I had a camera over your shoulders. I would like to just to make sure we're on the up and up. All right, last one quickly. Alabama at Missouri. Bama at Missouri.
Bama 17 and a half.
I will say Bama by 20 and a half, 20.5.
Yeah, I'd like to look over his shoulders. 21 and a half.
See? Just we know our SEC.
Maybe we're just smarter than you think we are.
I feel like it feels like Friday trivia. Like I need a little bit more time. I need an answer. Hold on. I'm Google searching. Hold on. Just it felt like Friday trivia. I got to be honest. But well done, guys. Job well done. Really impressed.
Thank you
guys were all over it.
Thank you, Darren.
We'll come back. Elliot Friedman has shaved the beard. The beard is gone. It is gone. That glorious salt and pepper beard is gone. We're going to talk some hockey with him, our weekly chat with Elliot Friedman on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.